Dear friends, happy, sort of, happy new year, right? So today we begin a new liturgical year. We begin the season of Advent today on this first Sunday of Advent. And we might think that at the very beginning of the liturgical year, on this first Sunday of Advent, that our scripture readings would start at the beginning of the Bible, right? Like at Genesis, but they don't. It seems rather strange sometimes, but we start from Jesus' famous discourse on the Mount of Olives, where he gives a lot of teachings about the end times and about his second coming. And Jesus refers here to, he compares his second coming, the end of time, and puts it in relationship to the days of Noah and the flood, right, from the book of Genesis. Jesus says, in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man, right? And then Jesus goes on to speak about, there will be two men working, one will be taken, the other left, and then two women, and one will be taken, the other one left. Now, some Christians believe that Jesus is here referring to some sort of what they call the rapture, okay? That some people who believe in Jesus at the end of time will be taken and will mysteriously disappear. And then non-believers will be left behind, so to speak. However, this is not what Jesus is referring to. What Jesus is referring to here is the final judgment, not some secret rapture of true believers. And this is how we can tell, how we can tell that Jesus is here speaking about the final judgment. First, the context of this passage is all about the final judgment. Just before Jesus says these words today in the gospel, he says, no one will know the day nor the hour. And what he's referring to here is when he says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, right? So no one will know when the end of the world will be, when the second coming and the final judgment will be, but only the Father knows. Second, Jesus is making a comparison to the flood of Noah. When many people, he says, were busy with many other things and were not preparing for the flood, Jesus is comparing this to his final coming. When many people are going to be consumed with the things of this world and will not be ready for the final judgment. Third, and this is very important, when Jesus speaks about the one will be taken, the other one left, what he's referring to is this is also what happened at the time of Noah. Noah's family was taken. They were taken upon the ark to be saved from the flood. The rest of the people that were left behind were not left behind so that they could, like, repent or something like that. They were left out of salvation and exposed to the flood and perished in the judgment of God. So what Jesus is getting at here is essentially what he speaks about a little bit later in the gospel, the separation of the righteous and the wicked. When he talks in Matthew 25, I think it is, when he talks about the separation of the sheep and the goats, that takes place at the final judgment, not some rapture. And fourth, and this is the main point of the passage, is that Jesus' return will be unexpected. And so he uses these images. He tells us to keep watch and to stay awake, right? And then he uses that parable of the thief coming in the night. And if we would have known, right, we would stay awake and be watchful. So the whole meaning of today's gospel, it seems strange why we begin here in the new liturgical year. It's not about some secret rapture, but it's rather about the final judgment, the final coming. It's about the Lord's second advent. his coming at the end of time. And it's important why we recognize why the first Sunday of Advent begins with this gospel. Because, you know, we all think that, you know, okay, Advent is all about, you know, buying Christmas gifts and getting ready for the birth of Jesus, and it is, right? And that's good, and we should still do that, of course. It's all those things. But the catechism actually has a beautiful line and explains to us really why we celebrate Advent and why we begin here by looking at our Lord's final coming. It says this. It says, by sharing in the long preparation for the Savior's first coming, that is, his coming at Christmas, the faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming, right? And so Advent is all about preparing us, not just for the first coming of our Lord at Christmas, right? That's a historical event that we renew, that we celebrate. But actually more importantly for us who live after the incarnation, we live after the first coming, it's about preparing us for his final advent, his final coming, the second coming of Christ at the end of time. So how do we do that, right? How do we do that? St. Paul in the second reading says very practically how we are to get ready for the second coming of Christ. And this is what he tells us. He tells us that we must throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's beautiful imagery, to throw off the works of darkness and to clothe ourselves or to put on the armor of light. And he actually lists very specific actions as he exhorts the Romans and he exhorts us also. He says to stop orgies and drunkenness. So here he's referring to, at the time of the ancient Romans, they would engage in these extravagant feasts in which they would that the pagans used to indulge in. And many times these feasts would not only include gluttony, but they would also include drunkenness and sexual immorality. So St. Paul is saying to cast that off, that is a work of darkness. And it's not fitting if one is preparing for the second coming of Christ. He also lists promiscuity and lust, as well as rivalry and jealousy. You know, including all those things that lead to divisiveness, right? That divide and injure, that kind of cracks in the church, right? So anything that divides, right? All these things he's saying, that there's no place for them in the church of God. And so we must cast those things off, he says, as works of darkness. Why? To be ready to meet Christ at his final judgment. And instead, he says, put on the armor of Christ, right? He uses that beautiful metaphor of clothing. So to be clothed in the grace of God. And to be clothed with the grace of Christ, we must take off the clothing of darkness to put on the armor of Christ. Now, practically speaking, you can see what our Lord is asking us to do in the Advent season if we look at the opening prayer for today's Mass, which is the Collect, we call it. And this is what I prayed at the very beginning of Mass. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God. It says, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen, right? So that phrase, to run forth to meet Christ, with righteous deeds, right? With holy works, to meet him, to run forth to meet him at his coming. So you see why we use purple in the Advent season. It's because it's a season of penance, right? It's a season of penitence. So we prepare for good by good works and by penance to meet Christ. And that's why going to confession and really living in the state of grace is such an important part of preparing not only for the final judgment at the end of time, the second coming of Christ, but also for our own particular judgment that each one of us will experience at our death. These two things, both doing penance during Advent and also making a good confession of our sins, these two things are essential because they prepare our hearts and our minds to meet Christ, to encounter him at Christmas, but also to encounter him at his final coming, the final judgment. And to run, they prepare us to run to him, to meet him, prepared by good works and also penitent hearts. That's really the essence of Advent. It is joyful expectation, turning away from sin and having a joyful expectation at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wish you all a blessed Advent season, and may we all prepare our hearts and minds for his coming. Amen.